Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. This is a very freilich sugya. You open up the Beis Yosef, Se'if Hey, more than most other Se'ifim in Shulchan, in Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, you really see sort of the unfolding of the history of the Baal Yatosis here over the course of the Beis Yosef in Se'if Hey. It begins the Lezmer Mitz, and then it sort of goes from there. It's important as you learn the Sif to realize that Lezmer Mitz was one of the early German Rishonim. He was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rav Yah was one of Lezmer Mitz's prime Talmudim. Yeah.
Sorry, is someone, I know, like,
happy just to say this recording? Yes, absolutely. The Rav Yah is one of the prime Talmudim of Lezmer Mitz. When the Beis Yosef presents, according to Mordechai, that the Re'em had a shita, and you look in the Rav Yah, he says it's Shamati. I believe the language of the Rav Yah. Shamati Rabbeinu Eliezer Mimitz. I heard. Not I heard Bishmo. I mean, he heard his Rebbe gave the shir, and he disagreed. This is the Machlekes. The Rebbe and the Talmud of Lezmer Mitz and the Rav Yah. So what's the Machlokas? And the Machlokas is, the last couple of weeks we've been working on the sugya of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. And as you saw, the Machlokas, we already discussed in previous weeks to what extent two axes questions of what the scope of their principle is. Does it apply as soon as you hit Macho ben Drusai, or only once you hit Mavushal Kal Tzarko? Does it apply even to a Davar Lach, or only to a Davar Yavish? The third dimension is, does it apply even to Bishal Achar Afia? And the Rishonim seem to generally assume the same should true in reverse as well. Tafia Achar Bishal. Or you can't mix and match. We know the Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, but how about if you're switching between first Afia and then Bishal, first Bishal and then Afia? What would we have assumed offhand? So offhand, we would have assumed, knowing nothing except the sugya in Shabbos, we would have said, you know, Afia and Bishal is all the same. After all, isn't that what it says in Shabbos, Dafayin Dalav? Dafayin Dalav Beis, the Gemara says that Afia and this is a Mesachas Brachas, Gemara says Shabbos, Dafayin Dalav Beis near the top. The Gemara says, how come the Mishnah says Aofef? It should have said Bishal, aren't they all? They're interchangeable, so why did we say Ofe if what they did in the Mishkan was Bishal? And the Gemara said, well, they're interchangeable. So we'd rather, the Tana wanted to give us the first 11 Melachas to do it in the past. They're interchangeable. There are other Eretz Halacha where they're not interchangeable. In the definitions of Lechem, certainly in the world of Hilchas Pesach, that's a Karban Pesach, that's a Pasuk in Chumash. That we differentiate between Sali Eish versus Mavushal. And the definitions of Lechem, perhaps also we differentiate between Bishol and Afia in terms of the definition of Lechem. That's a big machlokas that we've shown him. If you take dough and boil it, could that be considered to be Lechem based on the Lisha alone, because the Blila Ava, this takes us back to the world of Malach Zlash. It was discussed at the time as the theory of Machlokas Harishonim, where the definition of Lechem is ride specifically on the Gilgal, on the Lisha, the fact that it's a Belila Ava, that it's a dough, as opposed to batter, or does it ride specifically on the baking as opposed to the cooking, or does it ride on either one? Is it Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Chaim Cohen, his Talmud, and the Ramban? So there are areas of halacha where we differentiate between Afia and Bishal, or between Sli and Bishal. We would not necessarily have imagined that that would be the case in Hilchas Shabbos. But the Rezmi Mitz suggests that it does, and as you saw, his raya is that matzah mivushalas. Matzah that was nefa and then mavushal, so we pass when that's not acceptable. That's the sugya in Pesachim. It's quoted in Brachos. We pasuk is not acceptable. So don't you see that that means that the bishul is being mevato the afia. The bishul is mevato the afia. So then that should be the case. That should be the case. That should be the case. The Rambam suggests here as well. The bishul is mevato l'afia, so it's very nice. It's already off for you. You can take bread. You can put into soup. You take bread. You can put into chalent. The Mishnah Berurah makes it more exciting. Instead of just talking about marak, soup, well, maybe soup or gravy. So he talks number one about chalent, and number two talks about if you didn't notice what he was. The second food item the Mishnah Berurah gives as example is pcha. It talks about the tavshil made from raglei behema. I believe he means from the cow hooves. I think he's talking about pcha, which once was thought to be a delicacy. As the Mishnah Berurah gets very involved in the hamish even like to pour the hot pcha over the challah, is that mutter, is that aser, maybe it's a problem. I think our generation doesn't really clear that shayla because pcha is not really on the menu. But again, chicken soup and challah definitely are. So that's the position of the Rambam. The position of the Rambam. And let's put aside the other issues that come up. The Rishon already raised intertwined several issues, and the Mishnah Berurah at the end of the Sif does as well. Intertwined is a discussion of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, which if you look in the Rambam, that's the context in which he's discussing it. He's talking about Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni and brings up, oh, as an example, this discussion on how about sticking the bread, the challah, into the hot soup, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. So the Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni discussion comes up. We're going to put that aside in Mirtz Hashem for the upcoming week. See if and Tess and on pick up the discussion by Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. So we'll hold off on that aspect for now. And then as you saw, the Beis Yosef points out that the later Rishonim, the later Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Smak and the Smag, they were two, three generations after the Yireim, and they're according to the Yireim, as you saw, the Beis Yosef points out that there are differences in terms of whether they're highlight, whether or not they're including the angle about even a concern with cliche. Let's put that aside for now. And there's also difference between the later Chachmei Ashkenaz as opposed to the Yireim in terms of whether or not they're highlighting the issue of Bishul Acha Bishul B'davar Lach. That's the issue we discussed last week. But in terms of the core issue of Ein Bishul Acha Rafia or Yesh Bishul Acha Rafia, so the Rebbe said, look, that's it's a Sugyim Sachem. So we paskin that Matzah Mevu Shalos is no good. We're concerned that Matzah Mevu Shalos, we don't see it, it's no longer a Davar Afoy. That's why it's unacceptable. It's no longer a Davar Afoy. So you replace that Fia with the Bishul, see here too. You stick the challah in the soup, you're replacing, assuming that that would be considered an act of bishul, in other words, that either it's a Kli Rishon or if a Kli Sheni can be mevashal, and assuming that it's Yatzel at his bow, also comes up in Shulchan Aruch, also a topic that we'll get to mention after Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. Those are the next two topics in Yanim coming up, the other two major in Yanim. There's several smaller pieces, but the other major in Yanim in Hilchos Bishul, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and the Yad Soledus bow. But assuming that this would qualify as an act of bishul for something raw, it could be an act of bishul you're aiming things for something which is baked as well, because you're swapping out the baking, you're replacing it with cooking. So Haray it is an act of cooking. And as you saw, the Rav Yod disagrees. His Talmud, one of the Yireim's prime Talmudim, the Rav Yod disagrees. And he says, the Rebbe is bringing the Raya from the Gemara Pesachim, but if you get to the Gemara and Brachas, where the Gemara and Brachas puts the Machlokas and Pesachim, Meir B'Yosi, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that that's irrelevant. Because the Gemara, you remember, the Gemara in Brachas wanted to apply this debate about Matzah Mevusheles, whether Matzah Mevusheles is, where it didn't fall apart, but it was cooked after it baked. So we generally pass on like Rebbe Yosi against the Meir, and here apparently is no exception. We do disqualify matzah mevusheles, but the Gemara says it's not relevant to the status of cooked vegetables. The context in which is raised in Ketz Mevarchin, in Brachas Lamed Ches, I have a raw vegetable, it's a hadamah, let's say I cook it, that's the sugya there of shlakas, of cooked vegetables. Do they lose their status they lose they're no longer asparagus, now they're just mush, they're no longer broccoli, now they're just mush. And so shahako, no, it retains the original status, it retains the original broth. The Gemara wanted shtel too, and the Gemara didn't, because the Gemara said, no, it's a unique issue with matzah, because by eating time matzah veleka, has nothing to do with brachas. So that's what the Rav Yossi says, it has nothing to do with brachas, and nothing to do with afi and bishul in general. It's a specific, it's something specific to hilchus matzah. It's something specific to hilchus matzah. Now the Rav Yah, the Beis Yosef, in quoting the Mordechai, quoting the Rav Yah, they already point to Rashi and Tosus. They already point out that Tosus and Psachim seems to have a debate with Rashi. What is it that Bishul is doing? What is it that Bishul is doing? So Rashi, Tosis in Psachim and Malef, Avalob Mevushal. So Rashi says, oh, it's Mevatele Mitoras Lechem. It's talking about Blila Raka. By Blila Ava, it wouldn't stop being Lechem. That goes back to this question of definition of Lechem. So on the assumption that Lechem is either, that's what it sounds like, either Blila Ava or Afia, so you're removing the Toras Lechem by doing bishul. If it was a baked batter, you had a piece of cake, the baked batter, but that's very difficult. We're talking about a matzah that was made from really a batter, a matzah batter. Fascinating. Matzah has to be lechem, as we're saying. Matzah has to be lechem, lechem only. So no one has to be lechem. If you make, what was the mashal Reb Chaim gave? If you have an apple, an apple is. If you have an apple that tastes like chametz, the apple tastes like matzah, it's still an apple, it's not matzah. If an apple is not chametz stick, but it's not, obviously it's not matzah, even though it's not chametz, but you're not mekayin achilas matzah by eating an apple, it's not lechem. It has to be lechem, which is not, which was nishmar and was kept from becoming chametz. Even if you have a grain-based food, if you make hot cereal, and you somehow make sure that your farina doesn't become chametz stick, it's still, if you manage to keep farina from becoming chametz stick, it'll be kosher to eat on Pesach, but it's not going to be kosher for Ilah Seder. It's not going to be chametz stick, but if you can pull that off, but it's not going to be matzah's mitzvah, because matzah's mitzvah, number one, has to be lechem, and specifically has to be lechem oni. So that's what he's saying. Okay, so you're misalik the Torah's lechem. And then the Tosus goes on to say, but they think it's talking about, no, it's talking about normal dough. But you're making it into matzah ashira. You're making it into matzah ashira. And that's the tack that the Torah Rabbeinu Yonah takes in Brachas as well. Ben Yonah on the sugya, on the riff on the sugya, because he points out what does tam matzah mean? See, quotes Rabbani Tsarfas said that means it has to be lechemoni. And once it's mavushal, so it's going to be matzah ashira, and the meila it's a pasul for that reason. So both of those approaches appear to comport, or if they think it through, both of those line up, could work with the question is how do those fit with the array? So if you're saying that the bayin tamatza veleka means that it removes the status of afia, which is what Rashi is saying, so that fits well with the Yireim Lachor. Even if you say it's a matzah ashira issue, not that it's not lechem, but it's making a matzah ashira, so then it may still be the case. So why is that? So the way Tosfos says it is also, it's mapik le mitoras afia l'shavye matza ashira ki ilu lo ne'efa. Tosis is very sharp about it. Ki ilu lo ne'efa, and that's how it's meant to. That's how it's meant to fit with the carbon Pesach. So the Mishkan's Yaakov works more, and the Egel Tal work more on figuring out how would the Urim respond. How would the Urim respond to Rav Yoch? The Gemara is saying it's a specific matzah issue, it's a matzah shir issue. The truth is, you look at that Tosis, that's where the Beis Yosef is pointing to you. You begin to see, at least according to Rashi, and Lechor according to Tosis also, even if it's a matzah-specific issue, but there is the notion of the matzah-specific issue, it's not relevant to the vegetables. And that's what some of these achronim suggest. What the Gemara is saying is that it doesn't remove its identity as a vegetable, because the vegetable is a natural identity. And the question is, is Bishul totally mafkia the Chal Hashem had before? And the answer is no, it's not mafkia the Chal Hashem had before. That's what these achronim say. The Gemara is willing to maintain it by matzah and by tzali of Karban Pesach, tzalo v'achar bishlo, because over there, the concern, well, we're narrowing. We're not saying, oh, when you cook something, it erases all past history. No. A cooked piece of broccoli is still broccoli. But what's relevant to matzah and to Karban Pesach, and according to the Reim, to Bishul on Shabbos of Adar HaAfoy, is it's not, we're not looking for something so grand as erasing the entire past history of this item. What we are looking to do, though, is to swap in one artificial process for another artificial process. Yes, if it was asparagus, it remains asparagus even after you cook it. But if it formerly had a status of Adar HaAfoy, it was flour that had then been baked. Well, now it's flour that has been cooked. And that's lahar what you see. That's how the Mishkeis Yaakov, and I think the Egel Tal is more complex. The way they're explaining how the Yireim would respond to the Rav Yoh, the Gemara is still saying, as Tosis is pointing out, the Gemara is still applying this, willing to apply this potentially to Karban Pesach. So it's not like it's a mamish a specific, is it? Mamish a specific din in matzah, or we're saying it retains its prior identity, but its status as afui versus mevushal, that's an either or. It's a switch. You flip the switch from one to the other. That's how the Urim appears to have understood it. Now it's still interesting. I think that Mishkan's Yaakov maybe is pointing to this also. And that's the following, just in terms of two things. Number one, I would point out that if you look at Rashi in Psachim, in the Hemshech HaSugya, it's Dibra Maschil Yochol, but Tzolo'o called Sarko, the Charush Shavya Charucha. So Rashi seems to have two Lashonos about whether it's... Rashi seems to have two Lashonos about the scope of this din. The first Lashon of Rashi, which he ultimately is not happy with, the first Lashon of Rashi seems to understand the whole issue of you sold the Karban Pesach and then you cooked it, that's not acceptable, it's because you weren't Solehu called Sarko. If you would have been Solehu called Sarko, it would be locked in as a Kasher Karban Pesach. That's fascinating. That's fascinating, because that first Lashon is a direct rejection of the Urim. They'd say, no, once it was fully tzaloi, so then any subsequent bishul is not going to impact it. The issue is it wasn't fully tzaloi. That's why tzaloi v'achar bishlo is a problem by the Karban Pesach. That's what the first Lashon in Rashi. The second Lashon in Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi ultimately accepts, he himself writes, he accepts the second Lashon. But it sounds like perhaps part of that issue, not only is there a point that Tosfos on that Amud, the Dimasa Avalob and Vushal seems to be huddling with the Uraim, which again is not surprising at all. The Uraim was one of the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam. This was part of the Meduber. But Rashi seems to already be seeing things in one of two ways. So that's one Ha'ara in the Rishonim. Another Ha'ara, just in terms of working out the pieces and working out the Svara, is to make the following point. The Uraim is clear, we mentioned this the other week, the Uraim is clear in the talking about this, that he requires cold Sarko. Ein Bishlach HaBishl is only where it's cold Sarko. He says, but if it's Afwi, even though it was Afwi, again, unlike that Rashi, which says totally called Sarko, there's no Bishl. Uraim says, no, if it was Afwi called Sarko, if it was Mavushal called Sarko, then Ein Bishlach HaBishl. If it was Soli called Sarko, then Yesh Bishlach HaBishl. So what's interesting, I think this emerges also from looking at the Mishnah Yaakov. The two pieces, end of Simon Sinai Dalet and Simon Kuf Dalet. If you're wondering, some guys ask where to find things. I wish I could say that I've sat and learned Mishnah Yaakov straight and that's how I remembered offhand where it is. No, you look in the Frankel and they send you, you see the Frankel sends you to Mishnah Yaakov, Negle Tal. Those are makaris you want to take a look at. And then you have to dig and see what's going on there. So here's one other interesting point before we turn to the Psak Halach and Shulchan Aruch and some of the points that the more recent Achronim raised. Everything we've been talking about up until now, is it Mavushal, is it Afwi? It used to be Afwi, but then you put in the, you cooked it, so now it became Mavushal instead of Afwi. And again, that seems to be what the Sugya is saying, what these two Sugyas are talking about, in terms of certainly the Sugya Psachim, right, in terms of matzah and in terms of Karban Pesach. I'm switching from one to the other. It's no longer going to be lechem, or it's no longer going to be lechemoni, right? Rashi and Tosfos, because it lost the afia was supplanted and replaced by the bishul. It's no longer tziyesh because that was replaced by the bishul. Again, that may also have to do with is that wire, because bashul mavushul makom, any bit of bishul is a problem. And again, the Gemara had the hava mina to say that's true by Yerek as well. So the fact that the Uraim applies this to Ein Bishul Ach Bishul, again, as with the svar that Mishnah Yaakov gave before, that Bayin Tamatz Veleka means it doesn't take away the status of being an asparagus, doesn't take away the status of being cauliflower, but it does replace the Afiyah with the Bishul, replaces the Tzliya with the Bishul. A somewhat more narrowed in, but still broad enough that it can apply to Matzah and to Karban Pesach and to Ein Bishul Ach Bishul. Does it apply to Ein Bishul Ach Bishul? See, here's where it gets interesting. The Reim holds that Ein Bishul Ach Bishul has to be only by Mavushal Kol Sarko. But here's where it gets interesting. When we dealt with the issue of Mavushal Kol Sarko, we spoke at the Rambam, so you point out the Mishnah Berurah points us later on the Sharatzian, Sivkan Kuf Yudal, and then we discuss this in some length, that there are several approaches to how to understand Ein Bishul Ach Bishul, specifically Davar She'enot Sarech Bishul Klal. That the Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Rav, and it sounds like maybe also the Mishnah Yaakov, if you read slowly and carefully, seem to think that the Rambam holds that the definition of Bishul is Hechsher L'Achila. So that's why, what's the Moshe called Sarka and Bishul Ach Bishul? And that's why, even if the baking the apple will improve it, but if it's already fully edible, so Ein Bishul Ach Bishul. Because organically, naturally, because the definition of Bishul is Hechsher L'Achila. As opposed to the view that the Mishnah Berurah preferred, which is that this the patur of Davar She'enot Sarech Bishul Klal is much, much narrower. It just means something that's not even changed. Oil, you heat the oil, the cool day, nothing's even changed at all. So the Uraim holds like the Rambam in terms of Psak, the Ein Bishul Ach Bishul is an universal called Sarko, but clearly, and I think this is part of what the Mishnah is going to point out, but not because of the Svara of the Rambam, according to the way the Rekivi Eger and the Rav, and I think the Mishnah is Yaakov understand him. Because again, and there's a lot of discussion about what the Rambam hold here. But if you're going to apply the logic of the Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Rav, so it might be true that you're replacing the Bishul with Afia, or the Afia with Bishul. Maybe it's true. Maybe the Uraim is right. The Uraim is right against the Ravya. The Yermamish, and the way Rashi seems to say, and Tos, the way Tosa seems to say, it was the second Lashon Rashi, you're replacing, it used to be Afia and now it's Bavushal. Maybe that's true. But that's no different, and Noam, I think, had a very sharp nusach of this earlier during last week during Seder. Taking a davar offway and being mavush and be mavashalit is no more chamor than taking an apple and being mavashalit. The apple is naturally ready to eat. The davar offway is ready. The bread was fully edible. It's no less. Baked bread that has not yet been soaked in soup is no less edible than a fresh, crunchy, delicious, raw apple. So if you're going to accept the broader understanding of the Rambam Darvish and Tzara Bishul Klal, that it just flows from the natural Hagdara of Bishul, that Bishul is Hechshel Achilos, anything that's already edible, Nachakon Shuchai, there's no din of Bishul Daraisa. So bread is certainly fully edible. Soaking the bread in soup is not being machshir l'achila, it is mukshir l'achila. So the Urayim represents, certainly, whatever you think of the Rambam, the Mishnah Berurah is indubitably correct about the Urayim. Because when the Urayim says, ain't b'shach ha-bishol, it's mukshir called sarko, that's definitely the narrower understanding of the Mishnah Berurah and the Sharet Zion. It's only Davish and Tzara Bishul Klal, Mamish. It's not either it's fully cooked or it's not going to be impacted. They already had a full Bishul done, or it's Mamish not being changed by the Bishul whatsoever. I take a piece of bread and I stick it into Chalons, and now it's different. So now it is different. Now it was impacted. So however the Sharet Zion, however the Mishnah Berurah would explain the Svar of the Rambam, that's how we will all explain the svara of ein bishul achar bishul according to the Urayim. And the truth is, if you think about it, the Urayim's type of thinking that there already was a bishul, there already was an afia done, but I'm swapping that bishul in place of the afia, so that's actually very Rajba-like in concept. In other words, the Ray was a Bishul done, there can't be another Bishul. Oh, but if there was an Afia done, well, the Bishul will supplant and replace Afia. Bishul will knock the Afia out of place, now it's a Bishul. So what you did counted as an act of Bishul. It's much less result-oriented and much more mice-oriented, which is the way we had feared as the Machlokas Rambam Rajba according to Riki Veger. But clearly the Ray is not the Riki Veger's Rambam. The Reim holds a Kol Tzarko, but he is the non-Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Rambam. It's all about what's the Maisa. If I could replace the preceding Afia with the Maisa Bishul, so then that would be a violation of Bishul. If it's Mavusha, I have Mavashla again, they already had a Bishul, so this doesn't count as an act of Bishul. If they had an Afia, there could be an act of Bishul. I'm adding something substantial. And that's why also it goes both ways. Yesh Bishul Achar Afia and Yesh Afia Achar Bishul. Questions, and then let's turn our attention to Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, but why can't you say more like that? The Taz says that it's still result oriented in terms of improving the taste of the actual item as opposed to mice oriented of just doing a different type of Bishul or
color. Ah, okay.
And then it's more Rambam-esque, but and that's why in Bishul after Bishul is only when it's Kol Tzarko, because then there's no improvement happening.
Ah, okay. You're saying it's not as technical as the Rajma. But the Rajma was very technical. He said, someone's Urayim Mevashala to Machal Ben Drusah, even though clearly it's being improved very significantly and the taste is being changed radically, but there was an act of Bishul Dov. Moshe can you really rain? We say, no. Kol Zman, you really make an impact. So until you get to Moshe Kol Tzarko, Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. Or if you're doing Afiyah after Bishul also, you're making significant impact. Okay, so you're saying, you're tying the rain is definitely saying it's impact oriented, just the impact is not necessarily narrowly defined as Hekshar L'Achila. The impact is more broadly defined as impacting the taste.
Yeah, the Taz says like some lashon of like miskadesh atam or something like that.
Oh, okay, good. And that's going to be important for some of the practical nafkaminas also. So let's hold on to that. You look in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, as you saw, the Shulchan Aruch is concerned with the Yireim. So some of the Achronim want to say, well, if the Rambam agrees with the Yireim, which they try to theorize the Rambam agrees with the Yireim, you know, that sort of touches back when we were talking about before, that's going to work better according to Shaar HaTzion than according to Pekid Eger to argue that the Rambam holds like the Yireim. Because again, the Rambam might agree with the Yireim's logic in Karban Pesach, but doesn't necessarily mean he would apply it to Bishul. Because again, applying it to Bishul B'Shabbos still has to do with how you define Bishul. So if the Rambam agrees with the Yireim, okay, that makes it even easier to understand where the Shulchan Aruch stands. The Shulchan definitely presents the Yireim as the first opinion. And then V'yesh Matirin, which Ramah understands that the Yesh Matirin of the Shulchan Aruch would just be klisheni. But the Ramah himself then goes, and Yesh Makilim even be klirishin. Okay, so there are obviously practically three opinions, because the Rav Yoh thinks that Ein Bishul Achar Afiyah, period. It's the same as Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. It doesn't matter klirishin klisheni. You hold the Yireim, then you have to figure out, are you also concerned about klisheni, or do you follow the normal rules, even by bread, that Ein Bishul be klisheni. So again, the klisheni piece we'll pick up with the Mirtzim next time when we dive into Membeis and the rest of the sugyas of klirish and klisheni. But it is the Ramah is clear that we do avoid. We are concerned with the opinion of the Yireim. We're not willing to rely on the Rav Yoh and be matir bishul of bread. Yesh bishul achar afia. And then the Nos HaKeinah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham and others. Again, we were talking before, it cuts both ways. Not only does that mean that you cannot that stick a davar afui into hot liquid where bishul is possible, but it also means to reheat, to dry heat a davar mevushal, some of the Nos HaKeinah are concerned about. If you take a look in Sif Tezvav, it's interesting. In Sif Tezvav, the other place where the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Yuches in Tezvav, so the other place the Shulchan Aruch discusses Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, Davashin is Bashul called Sarko Vu Yavish Ein Bo Marak. Mutul Anichal Kenegan Amadura. You have a piece of meat, a piece of chicken that was cooked, but now it's dry without any liquid. So you don't have the concern of Bishul Acha Bishul B'davar Lach. So then you can, again, you can't put Agave Eish, that's Xer Drabanon, but you can put a Kenegan Eish, even though it's Yad Soledis. Even though it's Yad, and that's where the Ramah talks about it. If it's low Nitzdanin, then even the liquid is not a problem. So the Bir Alacha here points out, what do you mean? Dir Maskel Vahu Yavish. So what about the Yireim? What about the Yireim? So the Magen Avraham, as I quoted earlier, the Magen Avraham said, the same way Yesh Bishul Achar Afiyah, Yesh Tzliach Bishul. So I don't understand, you have a piece, the Davashen is Bashel, and you took it out of the liquid, and now you're reheating it. So if you're reheating it in the liquids, you have to figure out about the heating of the liquid, but at least the solid food, it's bishul achar bishul. You're going to reheat, I have a piece of meat that I cooked in gravy, in a pool of gravy, and now I'm going to reheat it dry. Isn't that sli achar bishul? So that's what the Mishnah Berurah raises as a kash in the Be'er Halacha in Sif Tes Vav. The Chazon Ish, I believe, gives, they quote, the Chazon Ish gives two terutzim. If you want to see the Chazon Ish inside, you see here in Siman Lamed Zion, Sifka and Yud Dalet. So the Chazon Ish says two suggestions, both of which make interesting assumptions. One, he says, is, well, if I take a piece of meat without significant liquid, we'll talk, we'll get to Sifya Dal about the definition of Dabar Lach, but even if it isn't significant liquid, but if I put it in I'm not leaving it on a spit where all the liquid drips off. It has its own juices that will come out. I put it in a pan, that's what you saw, the sun calls Sli Kadar, it's going to end up cooking in his juices. Maybe that's considered to be Bishel, not Afiyah. There's no problem of it being a Dabar Lach because the juices are coming out of the meat. It's not that I put it there with it in a pool of cold liquid. So that's one solution. It starts dry, but the liquid is going to, the juices will ooze out. Another thing he says, and I think this goes back to the Taz, Gabi had mentioned, you reheat, you have a piece of cooked chicken instead of baked chicken. You have a piece of cooked, you have a pot roast. You have a piece of a piece of meat that was cooked in liquid. You have meatballs, and now you just reheated the meatballs without the liquid. It's not giving it like a grilled or broiled taste. You're just reheating it. It's not there long enough or deeply enough to mamish get a grilled or roasted taste. So that's maybe along the lines of the Taz. If you understand what the Iranian was angling for was the ta'am, literally the ta'am, and again, that's one way of thinking about the Gemara's answer in Brachas, a ta'am matzah, again, that doesn't necessarily fit with the way the Rishonim are saying it. It has to do with mamash, with the flavor, maybe it has to do with the matzah shira issue. Okay, so that's another solution. Another issue that I believe we are. There are other answers also. I think we are makel to reheat food that had been cooked, to reheat it in a pan in a mild way, not to mamash sloppy, not put it back on the fire anyways. That would be at the very least an issur drabanan of, even without sliach or bishul, that would be issur drabanan of agave eish. But to have it in a pan where you're warming in the pan, that's assumed not to be, I think it's usually assumed not to be a problem. And the other issue that the post can discuss is if the cholent, what do you do? And this comes up in Rishon Gimel. What do you do if the cholent dried out? Shabbos morning, the cholent dried out. So you can take hot water. You have a kettle on the fire. Take hot water from the kettle and pour it into the cholent pot. Pour into the cholent pot, and that way you'll rehydrate your cholent a little bit. Not too much. A little bit of water. A little bit of hot water. So some of the notes that came and raised the question, well, isn't that bishul achar tzli? Because your cholent dried out, so overnight it was nefa. So maybe that's bishul achar tzli. Now you're going to put in hot water, and it's going to, if you take it off the fire, pour it hot water, so maybe that's not, but you pour it hot water, you're going to let it be on the, put it back on the fire, it isn't that bishul achar tzli. So they quote their Rishon Zalman was Mekel. One of the rationales, I think, is a point that Egle Tal discussed. Egle Tal has a very long sifkatan about the Diraim, very, very long, very beautiful, very complicated. A lot of Cheshbon al-Gabi Cheshbon al-Gabi Cheshbon. One of the issues he raises is, how about Bishol Achar Tzli Achar Bishol? Three. I cooked it, and then I roast it, and then I'm cooking it again. Clares. Is it that you're flipping the switch between one and the other? So every time you flip the switch back and forth, it's a problem. It was mevushal, then you were tzolit. So that's the issue of tzliya. Then you're mevushal again. Well, it stopped being mevushal because now it's tzliya. Now you flip the switch back again. Every time it's a problem. Or he says, maybe it's not a question of flipping the switch. Maybe it's just bishul and tzliya are two different phenomena. And you could have one and still do the other. But once both are done, so then it's done. They call it clear. So if you hold that ein bishul achar tzli achar bishul, because it is both mevushal and soloid, so then clearly putting the water into the chalice is not a problem. There are other arguments made for it as well. I think we do also usually assume that that is not not a problem. One final issue that the Mishnah Berurah raises once again. We mentioned the first time we saw it, that we're going to see it again and again. In Sif Katan Mem Vav, in the Mishnah Berurah, he points out that Shulchan Aruch says you should not stick your challah into the soup, even into the klisheni. Nagul Yizayir L'chadchil Ramah writes Sholitim Pasa Filu B'klisheni Kol Zman Sheyav Saletus Bo. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Mem Vav, however, if you did put the challah in the soup, you can still eat it. You are not running afoul of the first two se'ifim of the siman of Ma'aseh Shabbos. That's the prima gadim that he had already quoted once before. That even if we follow a shita machmira, we would not allow you to stick the challah into the klisheni, or certainly into the klirishon. But on the other hand, there are Rishon holds his mutter. The Ravya holds his hetzer gamra. Ravya holds, you're absolutely chatchila allowed to stick the, as Ramar quoted, Yesh Mekilim Afil B'Klirishon. That's the sheet of the Ravya, who rejects his chiddush of his Rebbe, the Yireim, and says there's no such thing as Yesh Bishol Acha Rafiyah. Ain Bishol Acha Bishol, doesn't matter. Rafiyah, Bishol, see, it's all the same. So we don't practice like the Ravya. But as long as there is, that's this idea of the Prima Gadim, that the Isser of Maisa Shabbos, that we forbid B'dyevet the results of a Malacha, that's only if there's no significant Shita that holds its Mutter. But if there is a significant Shita that holds its Mutter, even though we don't accept that Shita, we don't accept a Shila Chatchila, we do accept the B'dyevet, literally B'dyevet. I mean, if it was already done, you already inappropriately stuck the challah into, you dropped a piece of challah into the challah pot, you dropped a piece of challah into, you dropped a piece of challah into the soup pot. Now, Mishklirishon, it still is mutter. The last couple of sifim ketanim in the Mishnah Berurah and this sif highlight the way we opened, which is that this sif intertwines with other issues too. The next two issues that we're going to deal with, it intertwines with the klirishon, klisheni, klishisha discussion, and intertwines with yad soledas bo. So the Mishnah Berurah starts raising details of both. How about klishlishi? How about yad nichves bo? Those in Mirzshem are coming attractions. I should mention that I want to take more questions. Just practically speaking, so some people got very worried about how do you put croutons in the soup? How do you put noodles in the soup? So it's important to recognize that the things that we put in soup are things which are mavushal, not awfully. So people put putting a knedel into the soup, even if the knedel wasn't, if the knedel was in the refrigerator, you made the knedel and they were sitting in the refrigerator, you know, pop them into the soup, that you could even do into the klirishon. Not only could you put it into the soup, but you could even put the knedel into the klirishon, not when the soup has still gabi ha'esh. That's a gzer drabban of putting something agave eish. But once the soup pot is off the fire, the knedel is mavushal. That was cooked in water. So that's a very mavushal called tzarko, in bishlach habishal. As long as it's not agave eish, you can freely put it into even the kli rishon. Shkede marak, the osem, or whatever other brand you prefer, the little square yellow croutons, the reason why it's not a problem to put those in soup, and the reason why they exist, is because they are deep fried, not pan fried, deep fried in oil. So that's a discussion, but the mainstream approach, the predominant approach, I should say, in poskim is that while pan frying, which is like a very thin layer of oil so things shouldn't burn, that probably is the status of afia or tzalia with respect to many areas of halacha, including how you kasher things. Do you have to do libun, doesn't have to do hagalah? But deep frying in oil, we have a pool of oil, the way you make French fries, so that has the status of bishul. They're both in Hebrew, they're both in English called frying, in Hebrew they're both called tigun. So you get a little confusing, a tigun with a test. But that's the poskim point of the predominant view is that tigun is sometimes like afia or tzliya and sometimes like bishul, depends if it's pan fried, just a drop of oil, or it's deep fried in a pool of oil. So the way they make those croutons, the little square yellow croutons, is they are deep fried. So that's considered to be mavushal. So that's ain bishul achar bishul. So you're allowed to put them in, you can put them into the soup, even into the klirishon, as as long as Shalal Gabi Eish, without any concern, that's not awfully, that is Mavushal questions.
Yeah, it could be wrong how it's made, but isn't instant coffee roasted first? So then wouldn't that be a Bishalach or Tzliyah?
Isn't instant coffee roasted first?
The actual beans itself.
I'm not sure. We gotta find out. We have to find out how they, I think some, there is a roasting process, but roasting doesn't get you to powder. Roasting gets you to roasted beans. It'd be worth doing research. It may be made and then evaporated. It could be that the last step is cooking. Moreover, making a klisheni may also be a saving grace. Again, that gets us to the klisheni discussion. We're going to have to figure out to what extent klisheni is a problem. And that's where we're headed in Mirtzah Shem. Now, unless there are other questions? That's where we're headed next, into the sugya of klisheni. From the Mishnayos, it sounds like, and from some of the Gemaras, it sounds like klisheni and Mavashal. Open a short case. The Mishnah, Membez, Sugya and Daf Mem Amud Bez, Klisheni and Mavashal, Maskana Sav Sugya, boom, Klishen and Mavashal, Klisheni and Mavashal. That's the end of the story. So again, Ein B'Shach HaBishal, even a Klishen, assuming we worked out when we say, when Ein B'Shach HaBishal applies and when it doesn't. Davar Lach, Davar Yavish, Mubashal Tzarka Machu Ben Drusai, Achar Afia versus Achar Bishal. But you would think, assuming that it's nitan lebishal, it's still only nitan lebishal in a klishon, but not in a klisheni. And yet, we're already seeing here, before you even quote unquote officially get to it, there's a lot of discussion about bishal be klisheni. So that's a little bit mysterious. And that's where we're going to head into now. Si'ifim tes and on sif tes is the first of a series of si'ifim that discussion. It begins with a Mishnah on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, with a sugya that wraps onto Mem Beis Amud Beis. And just a word about the three Se'ifim that we are putting aside for now. We're up to Sif Hey, we're going to Sif Tes. Se'ifim Vav, Zayin, and Ches are about the Dinim Drabanan of Al-Gabi Ha'esh. So assuming now that we've discussed Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, Se'ifim Dalet and Hey, so Shulchan Aruch logically, practically, progresses to talk about, okay, so let's have a Davra Mavushal. There's no problem with Bishal. So where exactly am I warming it? On top of the fire, Agave Esh, Shalal Agave Esh, what's considered to be Agave Esh, and so on and so forth. So that's the focus of Se'ifim Vav, Zayin, and Ches. They are very important and very relevant. They are not, however, about the Malacha of Bishal. They are about the Gzeres Rabbanan of Agave Esh, which we will Mirchem return to after we complete our focus on Malacha Bishal. But the focus on Malacha Bishal takes us towards to the second half of the Siman. Sif Siftes, and a series of Sif from the fall from Siftes. We focus on Bishal Bikli Rishon, Bishal Bikli Sheni, and some of the how that applies in general, and then specifically about how that works out with liquids. Hot liquid, mixing hot water and cold water and so on and so forth, comes up often. And then we're also going to get to in Sifim Yud Dalet and Yud Zayin, we're going to get to the other major discussion, which is about Yatzel Esbo. That's very important. Yatzel Esbo, and under what the Yatzel Esbo, how you define Yatzel Esbo, what temperature is it, and what's the status of under Yatzel Esbo. Are there ever issues under Yatzel Esbo as well with the Hefsher? And there are a number of other smaller topics that are come up. Sif Tezvav Reisah. Sif Tezayin raises the issue of defining Davar Lach versus Davar Yavesh. Some other issues that come up, the question of some more details about Klish and Klisheni come up at the end of the Siman, about ladles, that is practically very, very important. And that's where we're headed going forward.